I'm really excited. In just a little bit, we're going to, at the end of this service, we're going to do a child dedication where we get to take time to step back, to thank God for what He has given us in our life with these awesome kiddos, and just say, Lord, thank You. And we're going to raise them in the ways that they should go. We're going to raise them in the instruction and the discipline of the Lord. We're going to raise them where they can see our example. We're going to teach them. That's going to be awesome, right? So we're excited about that. If you guys would open up your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The author of James is the half-brother of Jesus. Very interesting story with him. It took James a while, even though he grew up part of the family. It took him a while. It's really understood that he didn't believe Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah, until after he had risen from the dead. And so what a great testimony that James has, and a great story that he has here, or really in the book here. So today it's a good day for us. We got the kiddos here today. I had a little message for them, and now we're going to dive into God's Word together as a church body. Last week, we spent some time talking about teaching and discipleship, taking God's Word, learning it, and then teaching it to another. We didn't spend a lot of time on the learning it and what that looks like. But we want to teach it in a way so that they too will pass it on to somebody else. But as we saw earlier, many are going to hear God's Word and act on it, and they're considered wise from Jesus' words, while many others will hear the Word of God and not act on it. So turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 19. And our focus today is hear God's Word and then see what it looks like to build our lives on it. To see what it looks like to hear it and apply it. So we're going to dive right in this morning. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray. Father, we love You, and we thank You, Lord, for who You are. We thank You for Your word. Many times we can approach the Word of God just as a religious activity. We check it off the list. We don't take it seriously. God, help us hear from You this morning. Help us take Your Word seriously. Help us learn from what James is saying here. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, amen. I read a statement that describes a church culture. That we live in a church culture today that delights in listening, but runs from doing. Amen, right? We see that all the time. We delight in listening. We'll listen to you, right? But run from doing. We want to be a church family here at Authentic Life, and individuals here that make up this church that hears the Word. We hear it preached. We hear it taught. We dive into it. We make reading God's Word a priority. We want to do all of those things, but we miss the point of reading God's Word if that's all we do. We want to be followers of Christ. That's why we use that word a lot here. Christian can kind of be thrown around in different ways, but follower of Christ. We want to be followers of Christ that not only listen, but we become doers. We don't want to run from the doing. We want to run to the doing. Amen, church? I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to run to it. All right, I got some young people in here that are going to amen me today. I'm happy. Right? What we hear and learn, what we read, it does nothing if it's not acted upon. So how do we put the Word into action? I want us to look at four ways that we can respond to God's Word. And that's what James is doing here in this chapter. He is showing us how to respond to truth, the truth of God's Word. So we're going to look at four really simple ways. You're going to look at this and say, man, this is really basic, this is really simple, and there's a point to that. How do we respond to the Bible? If we follow these points, if we respond in such a way that James lays out for us here, then it changes our lives, it will change our church, and it will change the culture and the community around us. God's Word is powerful. God's word is powerful. The first response for us this morning is that when we come to God's word, we believe it as truth. We believe it as truth. When we read this passage in its proper context, we see something mentioned over and over again, and that is this: it's the word. We see those words, the word used. James writes it in 21, 22, and 23. He writes of the word. We look in verse 25. He calls it the perfect law, a different name, but still speaking of the word. By the way, we're gonna, at this first part, we're gonna have a lot of verses in here. So if you need me to slow down and say, I need that verse again, let me know that. But I want us to kind of get the picture of what is assumed here. When James is writing this, he's writing about the word of truth. Right? So we can believe it as truth. How do we know that? We look back to James chapter 1, verse 18, right before our text. James calls it the word of truth. John 17, 17, Jesus was praying to the Father and he says, sanctify them, right? Set them apart, grow them into the person that they were intended to be in Christ. So sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus speaking to the Father. 2 Corinthians 6, 7. Colossians 1, 5. 2 Timothy 2:15, all of these passages refer to God's word as truth, the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's a comparison between a solid doctrine, sound doctrine, and then things that don't line up with God's word. Paul calls the Bible sound doctrine, and those that don't listen to God's word, he says that they turn to myths. Right? So we have the comparison there. You've got solid teaching, you've got the truth, and you've got myths. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible is God what, church? God breathed. It's God breathed. So let's take this. If God is true, and He is, Romans 3, 4 says that He is proven true. If God is true, which He is, and if God breathed out Scripture, right, then the Scripture being the product of God must also be true. Must also be true. The psalmist affirms in Psalm 19, 160, the sum of your word is true. All of your word from beginning to end is true. I mean, we can be, if we're not careful, we kind of pick and choose. We don't believe this. We believe this. We're going to take this out. We're going to do this. No, the sum of your word, all of your word from beginning to end, all of it together is truth. So when we approach the word of God, our response is that we believe it as truth. The gospel. The good news of Jesus is truth. When Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, it's true. So we continue, as we continue, we know that God's word is infallible, it's inerrant, we can trust it, we receive it as truth, and that's where we stand as a church. Unapologetically, 100%, the Bible is true, and we will approach it as such. So when we come to God's word, we respond to the word first by believing it as truth, and second, we receive it with humility. Receive it with humility. It's on your notes there. Receive it with humility. Beginning in verse 19, we read this. This you know, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. So I want us to walk through these verses. What are ways when we come to God's word that we can receive it with humility? Sometimes we even struggle with knowing what that word means, don't we? Right? Men especially, right? We can struggle with that. How do we receive it with humility? Well, first, he kind of lays it out here for us. When we come to God's word, in verse 19, he says, be quick to what, church? Hear. Be quick to hear. This literally means, this literally means, hurry up and listen. Hurry up and listen. We want to have an urgency to come to the word of God. We want to have an urgency to hear from God in his word. So we are quick to hear. Many times we are slow to hear. We want to hear what our friends say. We want to hear what this blog says. We want to hear what this book says. But God says, be quick to hear. God's word says, be quick to hear. Have an urgency to come and hear what God has to say. And if we believe God's word to be true, then we should be quick to hear. And then be quick to hear and then slow to speak. When we come to God's word, we want to approach God's word ready to listen. So this is kind of like James saying, hey guys, when you come to God's word, be quiet. Right? Pretty simple. Pretty simple stuff. Be quiet. And that's really the idea, is that many times we come to the teacher talking instead of listening. I remember some of my conversations. I would go to somebody for advice. I would go to a teacher. I'd go to a boss. And I'm asking them a question, and then I just talk the whole time. Anybody else done that? Right? We do that. We come to the teacher ready to talk, and we should be coming to the teacher ready to listen. If we believe God's word to be true, again, then we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. And then the Bible says, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So we listen humbly, not with our defenses up, so that we're led to anger and we put up a resistance to God's word. Can't we do that, church? Right? We can do that. We have life, and you know, life is going on, and things are tough, and we're just like, man, I know the Bible's gonna tell me something I don't want to hear, and we're just gonna put up those defenses, and we come to God's word with our minds made up. Sometimes we come ready to hear and apply what we like or what fits our views. But James is saying, no, don't do that. Set those things aside. Come humbly. Put the defenses down. Without a resistance to what God is saying. We say often here at Authentic Life Church, and I pray that we always say this, by the grace of God, we will remain faithful to the Word of God. Right? The whole Word. The entire word, not just the parts that we want to hear. We don't twist the word so that it fits our lifestyle and our worldview, right? We don't leave parts out. We want to remain faithful to the whole word of God. Amen, church? That's who we are as a church. We want to remain faithful to the whole word of God. And we've got to remember the goal is not to get around the word. We can go to God's word and we're like, okay, how can I kind of figure out in our Western culture today, how can I twist this to get around God's word? May God, I don't know if he really understood my situation when this was written, right? So how do we work around it? The goal is not to get around the word. The goal is to receive the word, to receive it with humility. So we come quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Receiving the word with humility also means this: put yourself aside. Man, I needed to read this over and over again for myself, right? We put aside our sinful ideas. Put aside our selfish ideas, our worldly ideas. Look at verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. The picture here is to get rid of all moral filth, to get rid of the evil around us and within us as we come to hear God's word. Putting aside literally means this: to take off. Like you take off a coat, you take off a garment, you take off a hat, and you take them off and you set them aside. You shed the thing and you put it aside. Take off the moral filth. Take off the evil that's within us that's so prevalent. We bring so many ideas. Personal ideas, ideas from the world, sinful ideas, selfish ideas when we come to study the Word. God, how can I make my life, how can I feel better by reading your word today, right? Or this is what's going on in my life. And James is saying here, put them off. Put them off. Recognize your approach to the word. Recognize any sinful ideas that we are coming to the table with and put them aside. I like what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says this: therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. He's listing all of these wicked and evil things. He's listing those things just like James, or like James was generic with. Like newborn babies, put aside these things. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. We have a 4-month-old in our home. That little girl wakes up and she is longing for milk. Amen, right? I mean, we you guys have been through that, right? And we are through the stage. And you guys are just now in the stage of waking up throughout the night. Yours is coming, right? She sleeps most through the night. But long for pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. I love how he puts that. If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, that phrase speaks of salvation. If you've been saved, put aside all this evil, all these things that are contrary to God's word, and long for the pure milk of the word. When's the last time we long to hear from God? My son is so quiet. All right. I love it. All right. When's the last time, church, that we longed to hear from God? Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted. Or your Bible may say, humbly accept the word planted in you. So we receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. So we not only put aside sin, we not only put ourselves aside, we receive God's word with humility. And this is speaking specifically about our attitude when we come to the Bible. That is something we need to be aware of, church. When we come to the Bible, what's our attitude? At home, here at church, what is your attitude? Kiddos, young people, if you're in kids' life, when you hear about Jesus, when you're at home and you hear about the Bible and your parents are teaching you about the Bible, do we listen? Right? Or do we find ourselves playing and not paying attention? Those in youth, 6th grade to 12th, right? When you're in here, when you're in the student ministry with Jay, or at home with your parents and they're teaching you about God's Word, are we just kind of, man, I'm just going to listen so my parents get this over with? Right? Jay likes to talk, so I'm just going to kind of let him do this and check it off the list. My parents want me to go to student ministry. Right? And we all know Pastor Jeff's a little boring, right? Let's just kind of get this over with, right? But are we coming and listening just to check it off? Are we listening? Are we coming with humility, with the attitude that we want to hear from God's Word? Young people, hear me out. Man, we need to hear, you guys need to hear from God's Word just as much as us old guys do. And gals. To all of us here in this room, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, what is the attitude when we come to God's Word? In worship, here, in your own private Bible study, in life groups, whatever it is where you hear God's Word, are we eager to hear it? Do we long for it? That's a tough question, right? Like, what does it mean to long for it? Are we approaching His Word with reverence and humility, saying, Jesus, I need to hear from You? I love what James writes. That this Word of God, he says, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. When you are saved, when I was saved, God plants His Word in us, in our hearts. And I would love to unpack all of the background of that, where it's just, it's Old Testament stuff, it's all the way into the New Testament, but God plants His Word in our heart. God uses His Word to produce new life. We know Jesus does the saving, right? We come to Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, right? We only come to Christ because of Jesus. We only come to salvation because of Jesus. It's because of the gospel. It's because of Jesus, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. But it is also the truth that's found in God's Word, right? It's the gospel that saves your soul. It teaches us of salvation through Jesus alone. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what, church? The Word of God. It's the truth found in John 3:16. Young people, do we know John 3:16? Say it with me. For God so loved the world. Good. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not, but it's the truth found in that verse that saves us. It's the truth of Romans 6:23. For the wages of our sin is death, the eternal separation from God. He doesn't mess around. What we deserve for death, it's the truth found in that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the truth found in Romans 10 that says if we confess our sin, or we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be saved. We're to receive the Word that is planted in us. To receive it means to embrace it, to grasp it. With humility, fully relying on God and who He is and what He says and not what we think. That's how we approach it with humility. We receive it with humility by fully relying on God and who He is and what He says and not what we think. So we receive the implanted Word of God in our hearts, receive it for what it says and not what we would prefer it to say. We don't see that on bumper stickers too often, do we? Man, we come to the Bible with these thoughts. Jesus just says, or James says, let me do the speaking, right? Let me do the talking. So we respond to God's Word by believing it as what, church? Believing it as, wow, truth. Believing it as truth. All right. Thank you, somebody. Whoever that was, right. Receive it as truth. Believe it as truth. Receive it with humility and respond by remembering it. That's the next one, church. We remember it. Verses 22 through 25. but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. We're going to look at a couple key words here. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. Verse 24, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does, or woman will be blessed in what she does. We see that word look, it's repeated in verse 25. We see in verse 23, if a man who looks at his natural face, he looks at himself. In verse 25, he looks intently. But one who looks intently at the perfect law and abides by it, he becomes an effectual doer and is blessed in what he does. To look intently means to observe carefully, to understand, to investigate, to study. We've got our baby girl in the home, 4 months old. She investigates everything. You're trying to feed her and she's constantly looking. What's happening over here? I've got to figure all of this stuff out. And that's the idea. We come to observe it carefully and understand it, to study it. Often due to time constraints. Remember we talked about a couple months ago, a couple different studies had said when you go out in public and people would say, how are you? The response for years was, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm okay. That was the response for years. The number one response by far right now is busy. How are you now? How are you doing? I'm busy. And often due to time constraints, or maybe because we just want to get it done and over with, we come and look at God's Word with a quick and casual glance. We just kind of look at it and say, all right, God, I get my star today, right? And I'm moving on. But James is saying when we come to the Bible, we come and look at it intently. We study it, we observe it, and understand it. Young people, when we're in school, we can approach our text, we can approach what we're learning in two different ways. We can take a quick glance at it just so we can kind of say that we read it, and then let's just get the points for reading it and moving on, right? We do that. Sam, does any of your students ever just kind of look at it and just kind of move on? Well, yours is math. That doesn't really count. Yeah, they don't even look at it. Or students, we can read it to understand it. We can read it and study it to remember it. So when test time comes, we know it, right? We just do it. And that's the idea here. We read it, we hear it, we pay attention to what God's Word is saying so that it becomes part of us. We remember it. I am just as guilty as anybody else. You're just like, man, God, I need to spend time with you today. All right, that's good. I got, woo, knocked that one out, right? And we're good. We get these stars from Jesus. You guys get those? I don't ever get one. I think I'm going to get a star for reading through it. But that's the idea. We come to God's Word sometimes just kind of saying, man, I'm going to check it off the list. But when James writes of looking and looking intently, it's looking to remember. And carrying that idea in verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. James uses a cool analogy here of a man who looks at himself in the mirror, and then he walks away, and the idea is that he has no clue of what he looks like. How silly is that? Right? You go out and you look in the bathroom and you look at the mirror and you got a booger on your face, you better clean the thing off, right? I mean, we do something about it. We apply it. We put things into action. That's gross, Levi, right? And so we put things into action. We see, we got a calic in our hair. We got bedhead. Who wakes up with bedhead, right? Okay, right? We fix it. We do things with it. We don't just look at ourselves and walk away. James says that's silly. It's ridiculous. This is really the idea. It's ridiculous to look into the Word of God in such a way that we walk away and we don't even know what it said. And we're all guilty of that. Verse 25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Right? Maybe some of us should look in the mirror a little more often, right? But when we go and we look in the mirror, we see ourselves, we see what looks right and what doesn't. You might put some makeup on, right? You might fix your hair, wash your face, you know, pick your teeth, whatever you need to do, right? Whatever it is. You guys, these are funny, all right? I like wrote these out thinking you guys would think these are funny, and now I have to tell you they're funny. I don't get it. Right? All right. Not even, I get a courtesy laugh. Okay. Anyways, so you do what needs to be done when you look in the mirror. Are you guys with me? Right? This is just a great analogy that he uses here, and you guys are looking at me like I'm silly. Right? You're like, Jeff, have you seen your face? You should do something about that. Right? But that's the idea. He's saying it's silly to approach God's word like that. With God's word, we look at it, we look to it, we hear it, and we do it to remember it so that we can apply it. We become doers. Here's reality, guys. If there is sin, when we look at God's word and he mentions sin in the Bible, we set it aside. We repent of it. We walk away from it. Right? We do something about it. If there's an action we need to take, God says, go and make disciples. And we've not been going and making disciples. We do it. If there's something the Bible says, we do it. If there's a relationship that needs to be made right, right? You start the process. You get on it. You don't just like step by it. If we read the word and see our lives, we hear it first. And then we become doers. And that's wisdom. Young people, hear me out. Hear me out. Old people, everybody in between, right? Wisdom is this. Hearing the truth and applying it. It does us no good if we've got the whole Bible memorized and have not applied a piece of it. Are you guys with me? Yes, Pastor Jeff? Right? Are you guys with me? Okay. Taking truth and applying it as we hear the word this morning. Guys, let's not just walk out of here, go grab a bite to eat. Well, go get a bite to eat. I mean, that's fine. But don't forget what God says this morning. Right? Church, Jesus said to hear his word and to not put it into action is foolish. It is unwise. And when storms come, and they will, where will you be standing? We study God's word to know it and to remember it. How do we respond to God's word and build our lives on it? We believe it as truth. We receive it with humility. We remember it, and fourth, we obey it wholeheartedly. When we come to Christ for salvation, the whole idea is we make him Lord of our life, right? He is in charge. He's the dude, right? He is the head. He's the head of this church. He's the head of us. He's the head of our families. Head of our lives. We make him Lord of our lives. And church, here's a reality. When we make Jesus Lord of our lives, it is assumed that we will be obedient to his word. He doesn't save us to come to church once a week and be pew warmers. Right? To be obedient to his word. It's assumed. We are expected to do what he says. We are expected to act on God's word. Luke 11:28, Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Another idea of observe means to preserve it, to guard it, and to take care not to violate it. It's a continuing theme throughout Scripture that we hear the true word of God and we act on it. So then we look at our text. We go back to verse 22. It says this. We prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. James is saying that the word of God invokes action. Right? It invokes action. And notice that he doesn't just write it as this. Prove yourselves to do the word just once. Right? He says, prove yourselves to be doers. It's language of continuation, continually doing the word. We keep on obeying. Right? When I talk to Jax and I tell Jax he needs to obey mommy or daddy or whoever's watching him. Right? I don't want him just to obey once. I'm wanting him to obey continually. You guys with me? You guys with that idea, right? James is calling professing Christians followers of Christ. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, if you've given your life to Jesus, he is calling you and me to not only do, but to be doers. Consistently and constantly in the Word of God, hearing it, believing it, receiving it, and be doers of it. The Bible says to be doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Delude, I think we've talked about the word delude here before, but it's a great word. It's actually a mathematical word translated to mean to miscount, to deceive, or describe a miscalculation. So James is saying here, those that are followers of Jesus have made a serious spiritual miscalculation if they think that they are only to read and hear and not become doers. He's saying, you got it wrong if we're just opening up God's word, or maybe we carry it in with church, but we're not doing it. He gives us the tools. He's planted the word in our hearts, and we need to live the life that he intended us to live. Amen, church? Right? Going back to what we heard earlier, Matthew chapter 7 with the kiddos. If we hear his words and do not act on them, we are like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the storms come, this house will fall. It doesn't say just kind of like you're going to need to build it up. No, he says the fall will be great. But then Jesus also says, those who hear his words and acts on them, they'll be like a wise man who built his house on a solid foundation on the rock. And when the storms come, who's the rock, young guys? Jesus, God, right. And when the storms come, this house will not fall because it's on the solid rock. It's got Jesus as its foundation. And when we hear God's word and respond with obedience to it, we have a solid foundation. And when the storms come, right, and we already said this, but they will, amen. Steve, the storms come, don't they? Man, life is hard, right? They come. We hold tight to God and his word, and we remain standing on that. Church, when it comes to God's word, we believe it as truth. We receive it with humility. We put aside our sin. We put aside our worldly ideas, our moral filth. Why am I repeating that? Because we need to get it. We need to get it. We approach God's word expecting it to say what we want it to say, or twisting it to say what we want it to say. Or we're all good with it whenever it's not us. But then all of a sudden, God's word says something and we need to do it. Amen, church? We set aside sin. We come to God's word, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, and we respond to God's word. We hear it, we read it, and we remember it, and we obey it. Self-application. What area in your life, in my life, do we need to be obedient to God and his word in? My boy right here, Jax, his life verse that we gave him, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Do you have that memorized, buddy? No? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Man, there are people. I mean, we've done it. We know God's word well. It's studied it. You know it. But then you don't do it. Right? Is that you this morning? Right? Is that you? I mean, do we approach God's word? We read it. We're faithfully reading it, but we don't do it. God doesn't stop at saying no. He says do. Right? Continually. We can trust God. Right? We can trust God with all our heart and be obedient to his word. We can trust that it's good this morning. All of us. I want us to just invite us to pray today and when we close in a little bit. Yeah, when I say that means like another 20, not really. But you know, when we close in a little bit. Right? God, what areas of my life have you been telling me to be obeying, to be obedient to you and do this and I've not done it? How do I need to start obeying this afternoon? What do I need to do? God, I want to do it. We get onto our kids all the time. Be obedient, be obedient, be obedient. Do what I say. Why? Because I know what's best for you. But a lot of times us as adults, we don't live that. Right? I mean, we don't. Are you living your life in a way that puts God's ways ahead of yours? If that's our goal, we've got to be obedient to his word, to put into action, to be doers and not just hearers. So what do we need to do today? What do you need to do today? There's an old song that says this. It says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Anybody remember that song? That's an oldie, right? Yeah. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 15. Man, this is a verse to hang on to. Another great life verse. If you love me, if you love Jesus, if you love the one that gave his life for you, if you love the one that left heaven and came down and carried your sin on the cross and bled and died for you and rose again and conquered death for you, if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. That's how we show Jesus we love him. We keep his commandments. Church, it's going to be hard, right? It may go against everything the world is throwing at you. It may be contrary to what you are feeling in your flesh, but God is good. Say that with me. God is good. Let me hear it, church. God is good. He is faithful and he is trustworthy. So we hear his word, we believe it, and we become doers of it. Thanks, buddy. When we become doers of the word, when we're in the word, church, here's my heart this morning. Let's just see what God does with our lives when we actually obey him. Right? Are you guys with me? Let's just see what he's got in store when we actually do what he says to do. Let's see what he does at Authentic Life Church when we become doers of the word and not just hearers. Let's see how he impacts this world around us, the community around us, when we actually live out by the grace of God, we will remain faithful to the whole word of God. Last week, when we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul wrote this, "The things which you have heard from me," which was the truths, right? "Entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We talked about teaching and making disciples and sharing the truth of the gospel. And the only way we can do that is if we're in the Word of God. Believing what it says, receiving it with humility, remembering it, and then we must obey it. Church, here's reality. The Lord He's not a God of chance. Amen, church? Right, He's a sovereign God that's in control and He knows what He's doing. And He's placed us in a community where the majority of the people around here are lost. I'm getting some kind of like stone faces here, and I'm hoping it's a good thing. Like it's just like maybe conviction or something. But let me give you the reality here. There are people right down the street that are going to spend eternity in a place called hell. And God has strategically placed you and me here to have compassion on them, to see them, to get involved in their lives, to share the gospel with them. Amen, church? Right? And they don't know Christ, and they need to be witnesses of people who believe what they read and teach. Man, I'm so cautious of that with my family. Man, I want my boys to say, man, Daddy taught this and preached this, but he's doing it, right? I mean, that's my desire for him to see me and Brody and our little girl to live out what I'm teaching. How does a person know if we believe what the Word of God says? They see it alive in our lives. How do your kids know that you love Jesus? Jesus made it clear. You keep His commandments. How do they know you believe in the Bible? They see you following it. Regardless of your circumstance, right? You see a mommy and a daddy, or they see a mommy and a daddy. They see a grandma, a grandpa, an aunt and uncle, a mentor, a teacher, living it out. Parents, the Bible says, train up your child in the way they should go. So I want to share this quote with you. Train up a child in the way they should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. Let me say that again. Train up a child in the way they should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. This whole do as I say, not as I do, not a good way to parent. Amen? Right? Not a good way to parent. The lost around us, those that don't know Christ, can't even read what I wrote here, right? The lost around us that don't know Christ, they don't believe what we say if we are not faithful to it. There's no reason for them to be. Jesus says do this. Jesus says don't do that. Well, show me in your life where you're doing it. Those that are younger in age or maybe younger in the faith, they haven't known Christ long. They're less mature in the faith, and that's okay. They need to see us live out the Word of God in our lives. Life is tough, but what a great testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ for others to see. When life is tough, when it's hard, when the storms hit, when our feelings are hurt, when life just stinks, right? And things are hard. What a great testimony, church, for people to see us living it out. Yes? Right? What a great testimony for our kids to see that. Life is tough and it's scary, but we're to be obedient, to stand firm. Don't think for a second people aren't watching. Your kids are watching. People in the church, people in the world are watching. So we need to be in the Word. We need to believe it. We need to receive it and obey it. What is your next step? What's your next step? Do we need to bring your sins and your pride and your worldly ideas, even your feelings? Right? Do we need to set those aside? That's the first step. We set those aside. What's your next step? Like, what's the next step after that? Do we bring and we repent to Jesus? God, forgive me for what I'm doing. So when I come to your word, I can read it with humility. Believe it and live it. And see what God does in your life, in our church, in the world around us. Amen, church? Man, that's what we got to do with God's word. Otherwise, we can just set it on the counter and not ever read it. Let's pray this morning. God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are a God of truth. You're a God that gives wisdom. And God, we need to be in your word to receive that, to see it, to hear it. Lord, if there's one person here or every single person in here today that just needs to hear something out of this message, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just convict their hearts. Lord, when we get into your word, it changes us if we let it. If we hear it as you mean it, if we read it for what it says. Help us put the filth aside. Help us put our feelings aside. Help us put whatever worldly ideas there is aside so that we can read your word with humility. God, help us be obedient to what it says. God, if there's somebody here today that just says, you know what, man, I have to trust Christ before I can really do that. We pray, Lord, that they wouldn't leave here today without knowing Jesus as their Savior. God, be with us today as we go home and with our families and with our friends and we see our neighbors and our coworkers. Help us live out the Word of God. Help it become real. By the grace of God, help us remain faithful to the whole Word of God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.